Yes. All right, take it away. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, too.
If you could have the pad open at the same time, you can read the questions, or I can start reading some to you while I'm here.
Oh, no, I can read them. I was wondering whether I should maybe copy them into a new buffer. So they are also on screen. Increase the font size a bit. So I'm trying to do this on the fly. Maybe a bad idea. Let's see.
Of course, you're going to capture it into your Zettelkasten and then. Is that what's happening?
Of course,
well, yeah. I can start you off. The first question is, I wonder what they use for the fancy animations.
Yeah, but I was thinking about this because that's the first question, and I was thinking about this while I copied this stuff over. What part is the fancy part? I can recommend books. Like, if anyone wants to have book recommendations for how to make presentations with PowerPoint-like software in a very simple way, we taught this at university. What was it now? Some 15 years ago. To students to make animation abuse where everything was flashy and typed in or something. Like, don't do this, but instead do a couple of very simple, tasteful things like fading through colors like filmmakers do, right? Fading through black to make a scene cut, or just fade between things, the fanciness. Presentation software stack, the fanciness. I didn't dial fanciness up. I just resorted to very simple fade animations, fading stuff in and wipe, I think, for text effects. That was it, more or less. And for the lines, maybe the lines are fancy. I was using Apple Keynote because I'm fastest with that. But I also usually we taught this workshop with PowerPoint, and I think the LibreOffice stack got much better with that as well in the recent years, but I haven't tried that in a long time to like fiddle around and find all the knobs to dial. Because the Apple presentation thingy has this nice feature where you have where you draw an arrow with a tip, and then you have a special animation for line drawing, which is only available for line art, and then it draws like the arrow that it moves around like that. So yeah, presentation stack, Apple Keynote, probably not of interest for anyone here, but I usually don't use plain text presentation stuff, right? So I tried this with Markdown presentation, slidey things, org presentation. It's always not enough control for the fiddly things that I'm interested in to make the experience great. So wonder what are the fancy animations and the stack. The stack is Apple Keynote, sorry. Hope that that's enough. Apple Keynote, okay. Thank you for capturing. Are you not a fan? Okay. You saw this in the recording. Why on earth is autofill mode not enabled? I don't know. I thought it is the default, but apparently it isn't. Could also use visual line mode. It's built in as well, right? Visual line mode. It's so weird to be in this vanilla setup and not have all my key bindings and my normal stuff ready. So, are you not a fan of using asterisk headings in org mode? It's interesting to see how people have different styles of writing org content. Am I not? Like, what exactly, what did I do? And notes, just open one of these. Okay. I could see how you could, in examples like this, use org mode to, read only. Why? How you could use org mode to use headings for this, because it's an outliner first and foremost, so outlining is very natural. But when I do in my personal setup, I also have this what is called start indentation thingy enabled. So that means that everything would be indented one level from the start. So I would probably fiddle around with that to not get like crazy. But also, I don't see when I look at this, I didn't see a potential to create subheadings. I mean, or even headings. The only heading here is the title, like in my perception of this node, and it's two lists. You could group these in headings. I didn't, that's right. Where's another one? I opened the autosave file because I'm stupid. Okay, so this one could also be probably subdivided, but I'm also not sure if I would gain anything structurally if I do it like this, because then I'm in a structural level and the stuff that just flows naturally as a sequence of text paragraphs, this here, it's not disconnected. Like it wasn't meant to be under organism. I don't need to create a new same level thing to say, hey, these are, I don't know, details or whatever. So that's maybe the real reason. I'm fine with writing snippets that are self-contained and essentially one or two or three or five or whatever, how many paragraphs, but it's not like, it's always an outline form. So I don't resort to this. My unsettled custom is usually written in Markdown. So I use subheadings for actual headings to subdivide, like I would subdivide an essay or an article, blog post. But that's the mode of writing that I'm in here. It's like blog post writing. I wouldn't start with four headings for this, so I'm not doing that, right? That's a thing. Okay, I guess I'm going to read the questions, but I'm going to stop copying them in because I lose time. I want to reply to you folks. Didn't see need for hierarchical structure. Thank you for capturing this. Next question. Can you use org files and all its features inside Dnode? Yes. Like this is an org file, and Dnode uses org headings instead of, with Markdown, you get YAML front meta. And with org, you get these attributes, key value attribute thingies that are then the metadata for the node. So yeah, the answer is yes, you get everything, and on top, a small layer of a link management. That's all there is. Next question is, where or how do you like to capture fleeting nodes? Oh, fleeting nodes. If you say fleeting nodes, you also need to say non-fleeting nodes and figure out what these are. And when you say non-fleeting nodes and fleeting nodes exist, because it's a distinction and there's something on both sides of this distinction. And if you say there's a distinction, there are two sides, maybe you want to subdivide the non-fleeting nodes further because, well, it's a non-fleeting node isn't very descriptive. So what else do you say there? And people have said a couple of things to define non-fleeting nodes, for example, permanent nodes. I guess that's a Sönke Ahrens, permanent nodes is the most popular. Let's stick with that. So if you have permanent nodes and fleeting nodes, now we have two types of nodes. The thing is, in books, the only, when we would talk about note-taking and you would ask me, hey, Christian, how do you take fleeting nodes? I imagine the discussion would be in German, because that's how people usually talk to me. I would pull out a book. This is Object-Oriented Software Engineering, interesting book by Ivar Jakobson, or Ivar, I'm not sure, because, you know, it's an English or American person. And inside I have these fleeting notes, like these are actual paper notes, square, what are these, 3 by something inch, American standard size, I guess, and A6 minus the tear-off part from another a notepad. These are notes I took, engagement notes, if you will, like engagement notes, because the margins of the book don't suffice to take, oh, damn, this is related to, I need more space. So this is more space. These are fleeting. And as you see, I have them in my pile of shame of books right next to me in the shelf, and folded them in this in this piece of paper, labeled it with the author, because I lost them a couple of times. They just fell out when I reached for the book. And this is an envelope. I shove it into the book and then forget about processing the book again for 5 or 10 years. So what do I do with fleeting notes? I do fleeting notes on paper. If I'm using an e-reader, maybe with an e-reader software annotation tool, but fleeting in the most like simple, non-contrived sense, fleeting notes are meant as engagement notes, and then you do something with them. Or like I just showed you, you don't, because life's short, right? Time runs out. Then you need to forget, then you need to remember how to restructure everything in your head to make sense of the notes again, because they were fleeting. They were just little scribbles, and it's basically ballast or waste, or, you know, I'm just carrying this with me for years and I maybe never get around to using these. But also I put stuff on there, maybe I do. It doesn't hurt to keep them in there. It's just an odd collector's habit I can't get rid of. So fleeting notes, I just capture them wherever, and then either I process them or try to throw them away or forget about them because they're in some inbox file on a smartphone, and then, you know, they might as well not exist. They're just there to engage me during the reading, and if I don't process them in time, meh, like chances up, like, sucks. Next question, like fleeting notes, permanent notes. I'm not going to talk about these unless someone asks a question. Zettelkasten feels like a very cagey approach to note-taking and knowledge management. Doesn't it restrict one to think in certain ways rather than what feels natural to someone? Well, yes, but so does wearing underwear, right? Like, bit of personal revelation. When I'm working from home, I'm wearing pants. You don't see them, but I don't need to. But I'm also kind of self-restricting myself in a way, because there's a window, it's dark outside, and I'm well lit. And if I just stand up and have no pants on, I don't care that much what the neighbors like 10, 20 meters across think, but your mileage may vary there, right? So there are restrictions that make sense to get to some point in your day-to-day life. And in the case of Zettelkasten, I try to tell people this the shortest story possible to convey a story there, but also not to cage them in with 20 definitions of different notes, because all that matters is try to move your thinking into an environment where you can write, where you feel comfortable writing, and where you can keep this stuff. Because I do feel comfortable with a pencil and paper, but what I just showed you, this might as well never have happened. Something has changed in my brain, most likely, right? When I engaged with a book like this, as far as publications and writing is concerned, this might as well not exist in my life, because I didn't do something with it. I was reading the book probably on the commute back then, on the train. I didn't take notes on the computer right away, right? So if you feel caged in, that may be a sign that you went too far on the I need to do this, I need to do that stage, and lose some of the playfulness. There needs to be playfulness inside of the whole procedure. Otherwise, if you don't enjoy doing it, you won't be doing it. And if you don't do it, then you don't get a benefit, and it's just another chore in your life. Then rather not do it, right? So try to avoid the feeling of caginess and do whatever you want with it, as long as you try to give your best. Like, that's the cage that you will benefit from, like really trying, maybe not trying hard, but trying in earnest to produce something that you can read in a year, in a week, whatever, and then make sense of it. Like, that's a minimum bar. And the rest, if you find yourself writing for hours on end during the nights, during the weekends, whatever, and can't stop, then you can tackle more of the prescriptions, let's say. But everything I showed to you was there are three essential things, and the rest is just add-ons to inspire you to think in certain ways, but you don't have to do them. You can scratch all of this. You just need to write to think, and then you need to connect to make the thinking happen in an organic way. Otherwise, you get a storage that's very hard to navigate and doesn't grow well. Thanks. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm not writing another show. Yeah, Oh, combine the forums. Like it's a Zettelkasten anonymous group there. Like everyone's struggling, and it's okay to like, I'm feeling like stuck at this and that, and then other people will be able to relate, I can promise. How does it denote, maybe, compared to Org Roam? Roam research was setting a new trend of connectiveness, because you could create recursive structures with links, and everything is linkable. And it's like you put every sentence in its own org heading and then link to all the headings possibly, and then transpile them so you can expand in place where you would link to. I think this was the approach, at least. So this was a very interesting transclusion, not transpile, transclude the contents, like move them in right then and there and not navigate to another page. It was interesting. It never made sense for me when people told their stories of how they used it. I guess you can use this tool for a lot of purposes, but the prevalent story of the Roam style note-taking tools was like, just dump everything in it. And garbage in, garbage out still holds. I do keep my personal journal away from my Zettelkasten nowadays, because I want to not restrict myself when I feel the urge to journal, when I want to capture something that, for example, my 15 months old baby daughter does, like first time she pulled a chair out of another room to a next room just to create a ladder to then climb onto another thing. It just was, okay, this is now the time to take note of this in her life. Like, you were this and that many months old when you did this, so we have some reference points. And I could put this kind of factual information at Zettelkasten, but also like, what if I have a toothache or whatever and just want to gather data for whatever reason, or I don't know, right? Like this kind of personal stuff. That's too much of the non-useful stuff in a tool that I want to use to think. I do see the appeal there, but anyway, the Org Roam, like that's a Roam part. You can watch a lot of videos on that to get a feel for this. Org Roam adopted this to make the connection easier and replicate features. As I said, porting tools that exist into Emacs, very nice pastime. A lot of people do this for a lot of things, but it's not a thinking environment. It's just another tool to take notes in that behave weirdly with links, or interestingly with links. And Denote does do even less. It only offers you a couple of shortcuts to help you find files quickly. It does, like you see in the bottom here in the mode line, it does just show square brackets D instead of the whole ID, which would be rather long. So you have a buffer list that is bearable and works, right? You can read this and find the title quickly. Things like that. Denote does things like that. Oh, I closed the wrong. Yeah, Denote does things like that very well, but it gets out of your way otherwise. Like just a couple of conventions to get stuff into your file system. I'm not sure if Org Roam now, like if what's the current state there? Like, do they do ID generation out of the box? Is there a standard popular convention or whatever? Not sure. Didn't follow. But I'm very happy that Org Roam still exists, because I think porting tools into Emacs is very cool, I guess. Next question. I noticed that the Wikipedia link you wrote was typed wrongly. Oh no! Garbage in, garbage out, I think. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage. Well spotted. How did I do that? Oh, I typed it. I typed it from, yeah, right. I didn't paste this, right? Yeah, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, this janitorial tasks. That's the umbrella term. How do you deal with this? Like, if you put stuff like this into your notes, you hopefully get a 404 code from Wikipedia, because the page doesn't exist. Let's not check. You get a 404, and then you could write a tool that checks all the links periodically and tells you about broken links, like a broken link checker that then looks up maybe automatically the last good version on archive.org and then the Wayback Machine, and then corrects the link with the archived version because the live one is gone. Like, this happens all the time on the internet. And even if you don't mistype, you could, you know, things go out of order. So what do you do with that? You need to automate this. I'm not clicking every link manually. I have like, what's it now, 11,000 notes or something. I don't this is not a thing that humans are good at. I'm not good at this. I will never finish anything else if I do this manually. So write a tool, write a script, get a script from the interwebs. There are tools like this plenty that can do it, and then you just need to do the wiring. And that should help. You could automate this in Emacs, of course, right? For every file in my node directory, look if there's a link inside, and then check the URL or whatever. Also works for inter-node connections. This could also break if you rename files or remove files and don't use a denode function, which I believe takes care of backlinks and forward links and keeps them organized. If you do this manually on another device, out of denode, out of Emacs, in Vim, I don't know, then the mistakes happen, and you need to deal with mistakes and heal and create scar tissue there in some way. So write janitorial tools to do that. It's also, I'm mentioning the term janitorial tools a couple of times now, because that's the term that we, in the forums at least, usually talk about things like find orphaned nodes, nodes that no one links to, find broken links, clean up references. Reformat nodes, stuff like this. So find large nodes and then suggest them to the user to break them up. Like, these are tasks that you can do mechanically, but also it's better if you use a tool to get started. Otherwise, you waste a lot of time. Next question. When I complete... Ooh, next long question. I'm going to copy this over because maybe... No, that's not the shortcut in my terminal. Okay. When I completely reworked my config some 2 years ago, I also tried some of these packages for making notes, but none of them actually fit my purpose because I do not like the idea of splitting up my ideas. I'm writing prose. I collect material, reading lists, and so on in just one big file. Everything fits in this notebook file. I do archiving from time to time, and I search these files in Finder to find old notes I would like to go back to. So if I write a paper, it's basically an extract from my old notes that only have one structure. Visceraliter, what was the visceraliter? When I took them, time structures my thought and my notes, but they would get lost if I split them up in a network-like structure like a wiki, etc. Custom, my two cents. By the way, I work on legal and sociological topics. I'm a lawyer by training. You know, Luhmann was a German style weird sociologist, and sociology studies are like the first 4 semesters at university where a lot of I don't know any of the terms in English. A lot of these things were theories in the loosest and broadest sense. Some were just models of how things might behave, but nobody knew because they were not empirically backed. Some were empirically backed, and then also there was like some sense-making. And then also in sociology, you have structure analysis of like demographics and things like that. Those so very, very hard fact and statistics-heavy things. So broad topic. And there's a lot of interconnections. I can see the approach here. I'm not going to defend Zettelkasten so that you in the end become a Zettelkasten aficionado or whatever. I mean, if it works, fine, more power to you. Like, reminds me of Twyla Tharp's like the shoebox approach or whatever it was called, where she just dumped everything inside for next project. Like an idea box, like real physical things, like, oh, I want to, I don't know, like this weird 8-bit do controller inside. And then eventually she would spread out everything she collected, newspaper clippings and, I don't know, maybe toenails or some weird stuff. I don't know what she actually put there. And then make sense of this and think of something, of putting these sorted pieces into context. And if you just dump stuff into a notebook file and then rework the stuff, yeah, fine. Cool. One answer is Zettelkasten created for mathematics. Org Babel, you can have... Oh, next question. Sorry, I jumped. The next... So my answer is this was not a question, and I'm happy for you. So still an answer. Next question. How Zettelkasten is useful for highly mathematical STEM academic fields like computer science or engineering fields, like when studying a STEM field, I need to unpack the acronym again, maybe for the audience. M is mathematics. Engineering is E. Science and techno. I don't know. Maybe technical. I could look this up. Right. STEM. What was STEM again? I'm doing a bad job. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Okay, so probably technology is the computer stuff. Yeah, STEM. Dear audience, that's science, technology, engineering, mathematics, academic fields. What should we make notes of? The important bits are interconnected in a hierarchy, usually chapters of a book. Yes, someone did the job of making the order out of the chaotic findings that people did over hundreds of years for you. That's an order. But there are also many textbooks. So opinions may vary. The presentation may vary. Some textbooks may click with you while others stay opaque and you can't you can't get into the meat. Sorry, just typing the answer right now. Copying information to another box using not, yeah. Yeah, let's see what the first answer is. Someone posted that Zettelkasten is great for mathematics, incredible for computer science. With OrgBabel, you can have living source code. Yes, that you can execute from the node. Also true for a formula and LaTeX in interspersing of images and SVGs. You can even use Agda if you want to. I think I know who typed the answer. Hello, Oliver. If you want to have living proofs in your notes, even inline LaTeX is in here. That's, yeah. Quote the sentence as is and add. Add something, maybe your own summary. I would suggest add your own summary because we're looking at the etherpad, right? Maybe I just copy this over so you can all follow. The etherpad's indentation is missing with what org is doing. And the answer was probably submitted by Oliver. Just in case someone wants to see who that could have been with the Agda reference, because nobody uses Agda, nobody I know of, in the world maybe. So Agda is just let's say it's good for proofing the code that you type as you type it in the compilation step. Very weird if you never heard of this, so check that out. So question was how Zettelkasten is useful for these kinds of things. Yeah, it sounds like in these kinds of fields that you only deal with facts. That's also kind of sort of true for psychology, where you have a lot of, and also law, where you at least in German and in our style of law, where you have a lot of, where you have thick books of law and very little records. No, that's not the right phrasing. Where you don't rely on the ruling as much as you do in, for example, the USA, where you have where you need to be aware of every court ruling to then put stuff into context, and all of this is like the current how you do law. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer and also not good at this in English. So sorry if I don't find the cool words and technical terms there. You probably all know. What do you do with these kinds of things? You need to collect a lot of stuff. Like the previous questionnaire mentioned, hey, I'm just copying stuff over and then I have a good time and can write about this and create prose in the end. Like with mathematics, you can't... You can't do a lot when you're still working on the foundations. Like, what do you want to do there? You don't innovate there. You just need to learn the stuff. typing things out and creating your own organization of how things are connected there, that's where the depth of processing increases, like the actual depth of processing, so that it takes more effort and affects more parts of your brain, basically, which then helps with remembering stuff. I'm trying not to to go into a 10-minute tangent here, but if you've ever tried to memorize stuff with flashcards, and you put a, I don't know, coffee stain or weird scribble or some spilled something on one of these cards, actual physical cards there, this card now has another piece of information that is actually important, because it makes the card more stand out more and more worthy of being remembered, because now one of these cards has this coffee circle thingy and all the others don't. So this one stands out, and this may actually improve how you learn this particular fact that you want to remember or memorize. And similar, like what kind of principle do people postulate is at play here? Again, then last time I've went into this kind of stuff was at university, so I'm not sure if we like if there's something new in the field of flashcard learning. I'm not aware of anything, let's say. And the idea back then that we spread and that was taught to us was like this: that more information and more context and more like more stimuli and making things more interesting, that's what makes it memorable. If you go for a walk and then associate things with places, going for a walk is a different activity than imagining going for a walk. It's also different from not doing anything and just sitting in your chair and relaxing, because you're not engaged. You're losing, like, you're using a bit of your brain matter to do the work while the rest of your body is stagnant. You don't smell anything different. You don't hear, see, feel on your skin. Everything's constant. Like you're these chambers where you're locked into very salty water, I think, floating chambers. So sensual deprivation chambers, like. You're depriving yourself of a lot of sensual input if you just try to really focus and do everything with your head. If you engage more of your body, if you engage more of your senses, then you have an easier time there. Now, what does it have to do with this answer? My answer would be the value is in rephrasing, in making your own connections eventually, like the foundational laws of geometry. There's no room for innovation, but there's maybe a room for association. Like, hey, I remember this. Like, if you can't figure out what the name of a certain axiom, lemma, whatever is, and it has a name, adding your own story to the note doesn't hurt. Like, if you say, hey, this is what my grandfather taught me with wire and sticks when we try to measure whatever in the sand on a vacation one day, right? And these kinds of things make it more memorable, and that's at least something that you could need to then, which is the ultimate purpose of STEM at university, then you can pass the tests. Like, that's it. Like, you either, and eventually you embody the knowledge, right? If you do this stuff over and over again, then you don't need to look up how to do a certain kind of proof, and you just do the proof when you need to do the proof. But maybe you forget all the kinds of weird proofs that you encountered in your life because you only remember the 10 most weird ones, but you had 15 in your life. And what do you do with the 5 missing ones? They just fade away. But if you capture them in some way or another, as superficial as it may be, then you still have access to this later when you need to check your personal inventory of mathematical proofs. So my answer would be, let's type in, my answer on Etherpad would be, I'm not able to type. Sorry. My answer would be this. Foundational knowledge is important for tests, mostly, and eventually becomes your inventory of skills. Same with programming. Like, I don't need to look up for loops. I just do for loops, and that's it, right? So, but still, I do have notes about for loops, I think, in different languages, like Python. List comprehension. I'm not using Python, but it's so quirky. It's quirky, and I captured this on a note because I needed to get myself used to the pieces, and I needed to look at the syntax anyway, and then this is that part, and this goes there. And I did this work, like this separation stuff, on a note to then do the work with more engagement, like engage more so I can remember more later. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember like there were different parts, and then I can look up the note, and it helps me refresh my memory rather quickly, because it's written by me for me in a way that I'm writing these notes for 15 years or something, 16 at least, 16 years or something. So it's much better than looking. Especially now, it's much better than going to the web and doing a web search for the same topic, because I will probably not get the useful resource that I relied on some 8 years ago anyway, but some garbage instead, maybe AI, LLM generated stuff, I don't know. So I have my personal copy of this, and it's not just copying the thing into a box, like from one box into another, from the public internet box into my own buffer, the Zettelkasten, that's closer to me, like a fridge is closer to my kitchen and where I want to eat when I'm hungry, then going to the supermarket or out into the wild and hunt animals. Like, this is all about proximity and also about ownership. Like, I own these notes and I still take responsibility for what I put on them to some degree. Like, sometimes they're really bad and I want to distance myself, but still. Yeah. So that's it. I'm not typing this out. I'm leaving copy box. Fridge, there was a term for this. Wait a second. Zettelkasten. Fridge can be fridge like buffer of knowledge. Let me just try to copy this note verbatim into the Etherpad and then see whether you folks can do something with it. The formatting. See Appendix A. I am doing this here. Appendix A. I'm not going to read this, but then you have a fridge-like buffer of knowledge. Local link in the supply chain. That was the term. Didn't remember that one. It's at least a local link in supply chain. Also, engagement, doing the work of not copying, but rephrasing, organizing, but sometimes also just typing the stuff again. That's how people romanticize learning a basic. Like, there were magazines with a lot of code listings, and they just typed the code. Quite some effort you did. You eventually got better at this, but you did do mistakes, and then you needed to correct and look through the source code carefully to spot the typo. That's apparently virtue. At least people claim it's a virtue. I don't deny it's a virtue, because I went through the same kind of crap, and I believe it strengthened my character for sure. But still, maybe it's not that useful, but maybe it is. I don't know. Like, There's studies I remember, but I don't remember any interesting results. It's not like it's a 10x improvement of recall if you type this, but it may be significant. Just check it out for yourself. I'm not sure. Next question, sorry. If in your experience, would you say that you reuse most of your nodes? Watching your demo, I thought that more nodes you create in Decimate reuse them. Yes, that's true. If I have 11,000 nodes or something, and I don't use 11,000 nodes every day. I can only use a fraction of them. But let's say you have the Feynman-Darling nodes, then you would probably use these. Imagine you have the same 12 darlings for a year. Then you use these 12 thingies for 1 year more often than most of your other nodes, because these become your entry points into what's in my Zettel custom today. These become your entry points of what do I want to work on today. These become your where can I put the weird stuff that I just found? Does it stick to any of these surfaces? Entry point into the process. But let's say 5 years later, maybe these 12 Feynman darlings were your darlings during university studies for STEM field, where you had a hard time figuring out how the Zettel custom works for your benefit. And then 5 years later, you're in a job and you don't need all of them because your subject matters from university, they are gone. You're not at a day job and you have different darlings, whatever your day job is. Maybe you're a mathematician at an insurance company. So you will probably have insurance-related domain darlings pouring in and some academic darlings falling off the bandwagon because no time for these. Maybe other hobbies come in. Like, I didn't have anything related to child rearing. Bearing is when you produce them and put them into the world, right? Rearing is when you let them grow up. I don't know. Like when you have children and make them not die and get larger and do stuff, right? I did have a couple of things in advance, but that was not a daily concern. Now it is. Now I'm a father, and that's a new concern in my life. Getting things done also tackled this, right? If you remember getting things done, everyone, you had areas of responsibility. It's a new area of responsibility, and you could represent these in your Zettel custom. If you find that you can spell out your areas of responsibility well, then you can see, well, I've learned something new. Can I become a better person in one of my core areas of responsibility? Yes or no? But why not? Then you will use these more than the other nodes. Like the weird thing you found last month, you will probably not reference that weird thing every day. Natural process. Like, but it's there, and eventually you get back to something, and then you still have access to this. Like that's and whatever this changes, like going through these processes change you. If I spend a month getting nerd sniped on I don't know, chocolate manufacturing or something, then I don't need these things ever again, most likely. But going through the procedure of becoming the master chocolate manufacturer of my town, at least in theory, will do something with me when I encounter the next topic. I will think of chocolate manufacturing. I wouldn't have thought of chocolate manufacturing before. In fact, I didn't think about chocolate manufacturing yesterday. I just made this up on the spot. But this is say about me today. Maybe because we were out of chocolate, maybe because I don't know, maybe there's nothing that looks like chocolate here. I don't know. So it just came up and now it's there, and things have changed for the better, for the worse. I don't know, but they've changed, and that's the real takeaway there. Where do you put the effort? Where do you want to put the effort, and will it pay off? Maybe. If not, then maybe spend the time on something else. Like don't try to Zettel customify something you hate just to, I don't know, do your due diligence if you don't want to, because then you'll hate the process. That's worse than not using notes a lot. Next questions. How are nodes structured and accessed when the nodes grow from 10k to 100k nodes? Yes, that's a field of exploration. I mean, that the lower realm there, I don't know anybody who's using a hyperlinked 100k node archive. I do know people who have a lot of text files. Like they Evernote style. They capture everything and put the verbatim copy into their stuff, and then they have a lot more items, of course. But these don't really count. These are like web clippings or websites themselves. I've read how many hundreds of websites today. I could have captured everything automatically, but they wouldn't, like the files there, the clippings, they wouldn't have contributed anything meaningfully to my knowledge base, because I'm not thinking about the stuff. I'm thinking about the stuff that I'm spending time on. What about that? Yeah, how are notes structured and accessed when the notes go from 1 to 100K? I will imagine that it becomes a matter that's speculation. We'll see. My speculation is this. It's going to be self-similar, like Mandelbrot images, right? Where you have recursive patterns. The first you have a couple of notes, you can leaf through them digitally or physically easily, and then eventually you need to rely on structures or some kinds of entry points, which we usually call structures, thanks to Sasha. Fractal, thank you. And the clue there is eventually you have hundreds or maybe thousands, not hundreds of thousands, of structure nodes. And then you have the same problem that you had on the lower base layer. And now you will probably look for another tool, but there is nothing else that's not also a structure node, but is structuring other structures mostly instead of structuring the low level nodes. But this distinction, I want to point out, doesn't pay off. It seems like it doesn't pay off to say, hey, I have these foundational permanent nodes, and then I have these meta nodes, these maps and structures, and then I have these super mega structures, which are not permanent, which are not structures, which are not, I don't know. This doesn't seem to pay off, because eventually there is another level and another level. And also sometimes you want to talk about a structure as a data point, like, hey, I did this writing project once. It was really cool. Link to writing project. And the writing project is a table of contents, huge hierarchy, or whatever. Like, is it not a link to a thing? Like, then you get into all these weird academic questions about the nature of links, and there's no gold at the end of that rainbow, let's say. At least I've never seen anyone come back with any gold. I've seen people come back with very long faces and sadness in their eyes, because all the effort, all the metadata was for naught. So how do you do this? You figure out when you get to 10K, you will probably have figured, and if you do 10K, not like web clippings, but really like you did put in effort to get there and type everything yourself in one way or another, you would have figured out something that kind of sort of works for you around that milestone. And then I believe in you, you will be equipped to get to 20K, 30K, because you feel comfortable in your notes, and then you can expand further. And it will probably look different for someone in STEM fields than for an artist. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe a fine arts artist, a woodcrafter, maybe these kinds of folks will have different structures and rely more on visuals, schemas, whole part relationships, whereas mathematicians may not. But I don't know. I don't know. We need to compare. And this will be the interesting, like, if the internet survives and we all survive, and also Zettelkasten as an idea sticks on, I hope we can have this discussion every year, in 5 years, in 10 years, and then see how people transparently evolve their gardens, their processes, their note-taking systems. Next question, not a question, but I would be very interested in your thoughts on this video by Westenberg. Okay, this is not spam. I know there's Joe Westenberg's YouTube channel. Why I deleted my second brain, a journey back to real thinking. I think I didn't watch the video, but read an article. Mm, not show me. Let me check my title custom. It's not on screen sharing. That was stupid. There's 10. No, nothing. I'm probably not going to watch it right now with everyone here. So my thoughts on deleting and stuff like that. I do remember there was a very, very cleverly written, well-written post, and the claim was, from my perspective, and that's not doing the work of the author justice, but the shortest summary is that there seems to be a false contradiction, where the contradiction stems from how the opposite side, the note-taking, the deliberate note-taking, taking a lot of notes, all the notes every time, stuff, like how this is presented. I would say this is more on the collecting and not on the connecting side of things. So like I mentioned for the some 30 minutes ago when I talked about Rome research, if you start your day with a daily note, journal style, and then branch out from there, you do at least have time as a structure that helps you to organize what you put in. But also it can get very messy and very weirdly interconnected, like this meme of the with a guy standing in front of a board with all these lines connecting things, and just, you know, with the madness in his eyes. You can do a lot of stuff in there, but it's at a certain point it gets hard to also get out of your own head. Let's say if you do it in this kind of style, it can get hard to get off your own head. And one litmus test that you may find enjoyable if you struggle with this is to publish more, because having access to a very deeply interconnected web of stuff, thoughts, ideas, notes, wisdoms, whatever, very deeply connected, like not a pile, yarn, wool, what's the ball of yarn? No, that's boring. Let's say like you have a lot of yarn, and then you just create chaos and entropy and can't untangle it. It's a very tangled mess. So it's a very dense thingy that's now its own kind of structure. Like if you have this, and in your head, when you think about your notes, you may have some interesting pathways there, but you need to serialize and put into a linear order in order to communicate. Otherwise, people cannot follow your thought. And that's a pity, because we still rely on the book style of writing, and also hypertext, which is making navigation easy, but not telling a story easier in our modern times. But we still rely a lot on books, which take a lot of intertwined stuff, put it into one order so you can read from start to finish. But then in order for you to make sense of this, you need to chop it up, associate with things you already know, and then attach things and create a new kind of structure through the narrative, because it's only one kind of presentation that's given to you. And there may also be different kinds of presentations, like I also mentioned for the STEM fields, where you have different textbooks from different eras of mathematics foundations, and then you see, hey, this one clicks, this one doesn't. Why? It's the same stuff, but they present it differently, and the presentation matters. And if you only deal with the chaos, the weird entanglement, if you capture everything and anything, how many hairs you lost that day or whatever, if you capture everything in there, you don't create the kind of value that is linearizable into thought, and which also makes reading your own stuff later maybe unbearable, maybe at least hard, and making sense. Now we come back to one of the earlier questions, like why do I not use outlines, because OrgNote allows me to do outlines. Well, I try to write my notes as blog posts, very short blog posts, microblogging, if you will, paragraphs, a couple of paragraphs. Maybe it's also more nested because it's a huge topic, it's a complex topic. That also happens, but then it's more like an article, a long blog post, or an essay. But never just vomiting thought out onto the page, because then you will get back to the note and you will find, hey, there's a lot of vomit but you never follow this kind of phrase with nice. I enjoyed reading that. It's always me oppressing because of its mass. It's also getting in the way of having new ideas, because whatever is there and you need to tangle it, and then you lost your new genuine idea. This can also happen. So not sure what in the what the Westenberg video contains, but the sentiment there of deleting everything, it makes sense if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a productive system. And the notes from 2009 in my own Zettelkasten aren't of the highest quality standards. I rewrite most of them when I encounter them, but I can still use a couple as is. And sometimes they're just garbage. But as Luhmann said, garbage like trickles to the ground and forms a nice sediment layer there in the septic tank of your thought machine, your thought thinking environment. But clear water separates and then rises to the top, and that's what you work with. It's never going to be 100% useful, but if it's 90% garbage, and if the water is if the septic tank is never clearing, then you probably need to start over and rethink your approach. Maybe there was just too much garbage, too much toxic waste in there, whatever that means, right? So I do understand this, but also I would say maybe they tried to do too much with a different mindset and it just didn't click, and then they, you know. Next question. Is there a danger? Also, wait a second. Answer. Do you know? Probably a lot of collection, not a lot of thinking in the Zettelkasten to some purpose. Usually, conflation was the word I was fishing for. Usually, posts, videos like this conflate note taking as a dumping ground. Dumping ground for stuff with something that is valuable in the long term. Also, like if this was our dear friend Westenberg, I think the note count also was higher, but I might confuse them with someone else. The note count was way higher than mine. Note count, but then also, you know, there's a sign of like going for quantity and just capture anything. Like capturing, that's not the bottleneck. The bottleneck is finding, making connections happen, having thoughts, and working on problems you really want to solve in the long term. So next question: is there a danger that with the Zettelkasten process, that the process gets a bit in the way of the content? Yes, especially if you do it like old school style. If you find that your handwriting sucks and you want to type things on a typewriter, like that kind of process definitely gets in the way. That's going to be your bottleneck. You can't find black paper and put it into your typewriter and then tick, 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 ching, like that's not the speed of thought. That's the speed of, I don't know, my long deceased grandmother. But yeah, it's not like a strive for speed of thought tools, not being a typewriter. And then next step, reduce ritual. Reduce rituals and ceremony. What I mean by that is, if you find yourself doing the same moves or similar moves over and over again, but they don't contribute to having more cool ideas per week, then maybe ditch these. Like, apart from the date timestamp, having a title, hashtags, and content, and also being very, very careful about quoting my sources, I don't do much with my Zettelkasten. I cannot give up quoting my sources, because then I'm plagiarizing, stealing, forgetting where I get ideas from, and confuse. And I get all, because I'm aware of the problem there, I'm also not trusting my own notes anymore. I would not be trusting my own notes anymore. I need to properly cite, so then I can see, hey, this block has no quotations, that's mine. And I can trust this. It's not like, hey, this is maybe mine, maybe this is a verbatim quote from a book. Like, this is not helping. Like, that's a ceremony that's paying off in the long term also. So that when you write something, you have all the sources at hand. That's a useful ceremony. Title, I mean, the title is just a way of summarizing the content in, do it like an excerpt, right? You have the whole content, that's your etc. Do a short summary, that may be your introduction, so have a way to quickly get a glimpse of the relevance before having to read the whole etc. When you encounter it years from now, and then have a one sentence summary, and then have an even more condensed form. That's the title. The title is basically your API, the interface for you and your notes. And it needs to uphold some kind of contract. And if it just is like, this is my second note, like, that's not useful. This is just a technical limitation, because you can't have the same file name twice, right? That's not going to be useful. But if you give yourself, if you give yourself the permission to take time of titling your notes in one way, and also changing titles, because you will know from writing introductions that the further you get along, the more and more you need to rewrite your introductions, because your understanding changes. Same for titles. Titles don't always stay consistent or constant. That's why I don't link by title, because I would then need to go through my note archive and also need to go to my note archive and need to correct all the links. That's a janitorial task I like to not do if I can. So answer here, less ceremony, fewer ceremonies, plural. Try to only do the minimum viable thing. And using Emacs and Dnote, you get a lot of defaults, and then you need to worry not about IDs and tags that much, or where to put them and how to put them. You can omit keywords. You can leave keywords out. They don't scale anyway, but they may be interesting as a way to group. But also, Sasha, from zettelkasten.de, from our website, Sasha also found that I believe structures win. In the long term, manual created hubs and overviews win over machine generated lumps. Because you need to reorient yourself in the search results all the time. That's not as useful as having a pathway through your notes that you can follow. It may not be a pathway through all of your notes, of course, but it may be a pathway for an entry point into some topic. That's why some things are essential and others aren't. And the essential stuff, try to do it quickly, get better at it, practice the movements, then they get out of the way, and then you can focus on having ideas and typing them at speed of thought, more or less, and then you're good. I hope. Wishing you all the best. Next and last question. How do you navigate looking at all posts with a certain tags? This might be an Emacs already, new to Emacs. Ha! I just may have answered this. How do you navigate looking at all posts with a certain tags? Let me go to my actual note archive. And then PHP, language learning. This is not my setup. I'm very clumsy. I'm sorry. I don't know. Swift language learning. That's a boring one. PHP lang. PHP. No. Ah. By this time, I could have also. Now there's the one. Like this would be an entry point into my PHP atom molecule organism learning journey, where I try to practice. What's visual line mode? Sorry. Where I try to practice this atom molecule thing on something new. I haven't used PHP in a long time and found that I wasn't. You can see on the screen also. Like language primitives are the atoms, I think. Molecules are more like idioms or patterns that are PHP, special in PHP and different in other languages. In Python would be list comprehension, that's a molecule. But also you can make a point for, hey, list comprehension is more like a syntactical thing. No. Get out of here. Like the for loop is the syntactical atom and the molecule is using the for loop with weird other stuff to then make the list comprehension happen. That's my argument there. Okay. So what do I do with this? I use this as an entry point if I want to see, hey, what kind of stuff did I take notes on to get a better understanding on multiple levels of the language and project structure conventions. And usually in other languages that I use more, here would be, but I can't remember now. Funny, right? I can't remember now. I would need to look, but I think I'm too clumsy in Emacs to do it live on camera. Sorry. But the organisms part here would also be like my own inventions, let's say, in code, like my own discoveries where I found that in Swift, for example, you can express things on the type level in a very sexy way sometimes. And then I would put these there. As well. So these are also, there are organisms to discover in the language reference, but there are also organisms to discover in the world. And then they are your own inventions, discoveries, more or less. And that's a sign of like mastery. If you work more on these things, then you don't need to worry about the basics of the language anymore. Right? So I can use this as an entry point to get into things that are very PHP-esque. When do I need this? When I want to talk about PHP, like I do now. Why do I show this when the question is about text? Because if I search for, which one do I take? Let's try grep, like this, PHP. Yeah, save. Yep. Grep exited abnormally. Dang. Why? Option requires an argument. Is eShell? Yes, eShell is there. So let's just use RG. Rip grep and then rip grep for PHP. And you see I get I can do file names only, right? Oh, that's not very. I get a lot of. Let's just scroll up. I get a lot more hits here for the PHP tag, which is only about PHP specific things, not about anything that I do in PHP. Like, I don't know, I don't tag Laravel or Filament, which are frameworks, libraries in PHP, the Zend library or whatever. I don't know many. Like I wouldn't tag everything and anything that is related to the PHP ecosystem with the PHP hashtag. Why? Because then the tag becomes useless. I only tag things that are about the language. Like how do I pass variables to PHP includes that's PHP related? And you see these are, I'm still not at the top. Now I'm at the top. These are a lot more findings than you could. These don't fit on the screen. These are three pages, I believe. And the note about my language learning journey wasn't even one full page. Here's white space. There wasn't. Okay, right? But still, there's much more stuff. The hashtag I don't use for navigating. I only use this, like, let's say the shotgun approach. I think Sasha on a Zettelkasten blog post, don't remember which post, mentioned this as well. Sometimes you need a sniper rifle, sometimes you need a shotgun, and a hashtag-based search would be shotgun approach. Like, I don't know what I'm looking for. It was PHP related. I hope I used the hashtag correctly, and then I kill all these notes from my archive. The metaphor doesn't work that way, but still, you get a lot of results here, and you could use this as a way to filter from 11,000 notes down to 50 or so, maybe less. And if you got this far, then you can start to do it in a mechanical way again. But wait, if you have 100 or 1,000 notes in the results there, then you can't mechanically go through all the notes again. You can maybe skim and look for something that catches your eye if you're lucky, and if that's the thing that works for you. But usually no. Like, usually the text become useless. Then maybe tech groups become more useful, like PHP and LSP, which is on screen here. Like, then maybe the combination of two texts, that reduces the search terms enough. Like, this is basically glorified full text search where you highlight certain terms of importance. That's it. I wouldn't put more effort in there. It's also maybe useful to group things by topic. Example, study notes, like, I don't know, this is my undergrad third semester. What do you do in third semester? I don't know, history of philosophy of science of birds. Very long course name, and then week 10. And then you assemble everything like with this very technical tagging. Then you can use these like folders to loosely group stuff together that happened during that week. And if you have 10 required readings and then do 5 of them, but they're also not closely interrelated, you will have read 5 to 10 different sources that you could process. You could maybe then also create an overview note as a preparation for the seminar or whatever happens at university. Then the hashtag becomes just a way to group things. But once you create the structure node, you don't need the hashtags to navigate anymore. You could then maybe use the hashtags not to navigate, but to clump, to create collections, pre-assembled to some degree collections of things that exist already, get them out there, and then review them. Like Twyla Tharp again, dumping all the notes on a table, all the stuff on the table, not just notes, all the clippings and so on and so on, and then making sense of them. That's what you can use a hashtag search for in the long term. And I'm not convinced about navigational use in the long term. That doesn't mean that it won't work for you, but I can't recommend it. I can't recommend trying to do it that way. So my answer is going to be, how do you navigate looking at all posts with certain tags? Tags are just a way to loosely group notes and stuff in general so that you can find potentially potentially relevant pieces of information. More quickly to navigate, use links. Create navigational aids, like things that help you navigate. Like, this is for week, what did I say, 10 of semester 3, the history of the sociology of the philosophy of science of birds or something. Lump things together there. Then you have a scratch pad to think on. You did do this when you went to university with paper anyway, right? You would get your college book or whatever, and then you would take notes. And these, like, that location of that piece of paper in your college book, in your whatever notes folder, that's the important piece of information. And the scratch pad, the thinking environment for this course. And if you have all the other things that you ever did at your disposal as well, maybe pull them in. Maybe pull them in and then bring them to the discussion with your professor or your teaching assistant and ask them about, well, I read these 5 books that you recommended for this week. Thank you for recommending 5 whole books for 1 week of reading. I really enjoyed that. Long pause. And then you say, I also thought about other topics and brought them into a, I don't know, dialectic opposition. What do you think about foxes in that regard and their own history and subjectivity when it comes to the bird's point of view or something, right? You can only do this if you either know this by heart, because you do this a lot, think a lot about this stuff, or you do this, you stumble upon this and then look for oppositions, look for certain patterns in your notes, and then try to pull them in and represent them again so they actually do exist. And then you can work with this. You can get on people's nerves. You can write weird papers, essays, and then get through your university studies quickly. Maybe also become an interesting columnist. I don't know. I've never been a columnist. Right. I think these are all the questions. I'm going to delete the leftover ones. I hope you enjoyed some of the answers. Sorry.
Yeah, you were great. Thank you so much.
producing so much.
Thank you. That's a lot. We'll go back and get everything transcribed as well, and then you can turn that into other articles in the future, because that's how this all works, right? It all turns into writing.
It all does. There's all the rest is garbage, right? It's, I don't know why we invented anything else, like hearing. It's only useful to transfer language before writing, but no, you can just read.
We have 2 people in the Big Blue Button room who are still around, I think they've got their, like, they don't have a microphone set up, so I don't know if you want to just like Kripke NFL, if you want to just follow up through the Etherpad or email, I guess, in case you have further questions. But yeah, if you want to wrap up, I know it's getting a little bit later over there in your time zone. Thank you so much. Better. Yeah. All right.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for joining and listening.
Okay. I'll wrap it up here then.